All right, Wes, it's no secret that the bourbon boom is over.
It's over, man.
Well, you know, there's still whiskey lovers out there. But when I heard that a major player like Brown-Forman, Jack Daniel's parent company, profits were down 45%, I was a little bit surprised.
Ooh, okay.
Because I kind of assumed that the big guys wouldn't be as affected. But yeah. If you want to find out what this means, then stick around.
Jacking around, kind of are, kind of not.
Yeah, dadjokes.com.
Okay. All right, folks, before we get into the Jack Daniels and Brown-Forman news of the bourbon downturn, I hate to bring some doom and gloom in on your pretty day there, but we got to thank the patrons first.
We sure do.
That is the bright spot in this episode, is that the patrons always come through to help us stay on track, stay online, and keep bringing the good bourbon news your way. And yeah. So that's why we're here. We can't thank you guys enough. The names you see on the screen right now are our top few tier contributors. And so if you want to know more about our Patreon options and everything else about the show philosophy and why you should get involved, stick around to the end of the video.
Awesome. All right. So I saw this report and I started digging into it. So Brown-Forman is a publicly traded company.
Okay.
And this means that they have mandatory public disclosures and financial statements. Mm-hmm. So some public companies, their year runs from January to December.
Okay.
But Brown-Forman's year, their fourth quarter ends on April the 30th.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, because when I read the actual statements, you need to understand that because the dates don't match
right.
up.
Yeah. Okay.
And so their 12 months ends on April the 30th. So sales were down 5% from a year ago, year over year, and net income was down 15% for the full fiscal year.
Okay. Not terrible. But trending in the wrong direction for sure.
Well, when you start to look at the historical numbers, you're like, oh my God, this is Armageddon.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so it doesn't sound that bad for see, the spirits industry is typically pretty consistent because people who drink and what they drink doesn't typically change a whole lot.
Drink what you drink.
And so there usually aren't huge shifts year over year. And when you see something like this, it might be significant. But what was more alarming than the 15% reduction in profits is that they were down 45% in the fourth quarter.
Okay, that does sound bad.
Which was February 1st through April the 30th.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about 2025. This is real 2025 numbers.
Yeah.
So then you got to ask yourself, what's the cause? Okay, and what do you think they blamed? What do you think Brown-Forman Company blamed when they said, hey, things are not going so well?
Probably the government.
That's
what we all blame.
That's what everyone blames right now.
So that'd be my guess.
Yeah. So when they release their financial reports, they have these shareholder meetings online. They do kind of like a Zoom type call, and they present the information and they explain everything and whatnot. And so in this shareholder call, they said that basically it wasn't their fault because, you know, tariffs screwed everything up. Now, Wes, I know that you are a follower of the things and you know that there's been a lot of talk about tariffs and, you know, and then Trump says, we're going to levy a tariff of 1,000,000%. And then the other company goes, oh, yeah, well, we're levying a thing. It's 2,000,000%. And, you know, all this stuff. So you've seen all that.
Yeah.
Can you guess how many new tariffs actually went into effect between February 1st and April the 30th? We heard a lot of news about all these tariffs.
A lot of news, all these new tariffs. I don't know, maybe 20?
That is a very good guess. The answer is zero.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There were zero new tariffs that could have affected them during that time frame.
Okay, so not a great excuse.
No, that's not the best one. Okay, so let me ask you a very serious question. Okay, what's the whiskey that you really love?
Oh, I don't know. Let me think. Knob Creek?
Knob Creek, okay. So let's say,
I know that's a stretch, but
let's say that you were watching the news and you found out that like two political talking heads were getting into a fight, and whatever the result was, Knob Creek was all of a sudden going to be double its price.
Oh, wow.
How would this influence you? What would you do?
Well, I mean, aside from the political side of it.
Uh-huh. What would you do?
Okay.
Functionally.
Well, I'd probably stock up on it.
You'd probably go buy a bunch, right?
Yeah, I'd probably go get a few boxes and hunker down. And
well, guess what? That's exactly what consumers normally do.
Yeah.
Okay. In this particular instance, they said that, you know, the consumers are facing uncertainty and the instability of the tariffs potentially changing.
Yeah.
You know, it shocked everybody and they just stopped buying.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I'm not buying it.
Consumers stock up when they think their prices are going to go up.
That's
so
right.
If you find out that some orange man on the other side of the globe and your government are fighting about something, and you don't really understand it, and the word is that your drink of choice is about to disappear and the price is going to go up significantly, you don't suddenly stop buying it. You actually go ahead and stock up.
Yeah,
right.
So I
don't care what you think about Trump or the Trump tariffs, but I am sick of the nonstop propaganda.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there's been no new tariffs since the beginning of the year is, I mean, I didn't know that. I mean, I've been trying to keep up, but that's not what you hear.
I didn't research if any tariffs kicked in. I only researched if tariffs were in effect during that quarter
the
45% that was affected.
Sure. Yeah.
There may have been some before that went away, and there may have been some that have come in after, but I do know that during that time frame, there were no tariffs.
Yeah.
Or no new tariffs, that is, that actually went into effect.
Yeah. And when you're trying to research an episode like this, I mean, your number one source is what? Google. And you know, who knows what kind of propaganda you're going to find on there.
So I literally typed into Google, I was like, what tariffs went into effect against U.S. bourbon or U.S. produced whiskey from this month to this month? And all I got was three full pages of Trump kills U.S. economy, Trump this, Trump that. And I'm like, no. I just need facts.
Yeah,
I'm only trying to figure out what the tariffs
are. They're hard
to
find these days. Facts are hard to find.
So I had to switch to ChatGPT.
Okay.
To research for this episode.
All right. Non-biased.
And the first few prompts, the answers were totally illogical propaganda that had nothing to do with the prompt. But I just kept asking it questions and eventually it would give me the actual information.
Yep. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm testing my new whiskey glass that I had designed.
Why?
Well, there's a company out there that's a real Karen. And she threatened to sue us.
Really? You don't say.
Yeah, so we had been producing some traditional tulip-shaped whiskey glasses.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
We never used the name.
Right, of course.
But they claimed to own the shape of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm just a little guy, I couldn't fight.
Right.
But do you know what that motivated us to do, Wes?
What?
To go out and design a glass that was actually made for high-proof American spirits. So the company that had the problem with us, their glass was originally designed for low-proof Scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay.
80, yeah. 86 proof, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what I had noticed? Every time I would nose a really high-proof, high-quality spirit in the United States out of this glass, all I got was ethanol burn.
Yeah, a little burn there. I felt that.
And so we went out and we designed this glass that's actually designed for those higher-proof spirits. And I'm so confident in this glass that if anybody were to go to our website and buy one, I'm offering a money-back guarantee.
Wow.
If you get that glass to your house and you find yourself one of these traditional tulip-shaped glasses and you nose a high-proof spirit side by side and you can't tell the difference, I will gladly give you your money back.
So what you're saying is they can really stick it to the Karen and support the little guy by going to bourbonrealtalk.com and ordering one of these with absolutely no risk. They could get their money back if they don't prefer it nosing it to the other?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you love small business and you like sticking it to Karens, that's the way to go.
Stick it to Karen. BourbonRealTalk.com.
Cheers. So I had to keep going and going to actually find facts. And here is my advice to the media conglomerates out there, social media platforms, whatever. If you're going to manipulate me for nefarious purposes, okay,
listen up.
At least show me the courtesy to assume that I'm not brain dead, okay? Because when I heard that old granddad was going away, I bought a bunch of bottles.
Right, yeah.
I didn't say, the future's unknown, so I give up.
Yeah.
Right? So media may have a desire to misplace blame, but I don't think that you're that stupid. Right. So I'm going to, you know, assume that you're a logical human and that you're going to behave the way that logical humans behave. And I'm not going to support this biased narrative. So
now what about Jack Daniels and all the foreign markets? Because they are, if not the biggest, one of the biggest exports, whiskey exports from the U.S. to other markets.
There certainly was a country that they had a major immediate impact in.
Okay, let me guess. Canada.
Canada.
Dude, that guy seemed to hate the tariff idea going on.
Yeah.
He was like...
Well, I mean, in all fairness, Trump did say some pretty aggressive stuff.
Pretty aggressive.
I'm not surprised that there was a big political backlash in Canada.
Trump
when you go, hey, you're going to be our 51st state, you know, and you can be the governor.
Yeah, the Canada of America.
Yeah, that was a pretty aggressive. I wasn't even on board with that. I thought that was pretty
Trump
wild.
Trump hardly ever says anything.
Yeah, he never says anything out of pocket.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So Canada actually did go in Canada. Jack Daniels did go off shelves.
Really?
Yeah. But it was for political reasons.
Right.
And now, remember, you cannot lose a trade war with a country that you have a trade deficit in. Because if you both start raising the cost and both of you stop exporting to the other country, you gain more than you lose if you have been at a deficit. Mm-hmm. That's just how economics works.
Yeah.
So the short-term pain equals the long-term growth of the middle class and jobs. And you're going to have a higher quality of life in the U.S. that was not possible before because we were getting cheap products from Canada and we couldn't afford to pay somebody a fair wage to make them here, right?
Yeah.
So what's interesting about all of this is that Canada made the impact happen to its citizens immediately and didn't have to.
Yeah.
So the way that it works is Canada owns the liquor distribution businesses. They control it.
Oh, really?
And so they already had bought a bunch of inventory that they had sitting in their government warehouses. And they already owned the inventory that was on the shelves in the stores. So when the fight started, they went and took all of that inventory off the shelves. Now, government taxpayer money had paid for all that inventory.
Yeah.
So the bureaucrats that made that decision, it didn't have any direct impact on them. They don't care if they piss off their people's money, right? Mm-hmm. But the product that they had already brought into the country wasn't ever going to be affected by the tariff. So there was absolutely zero reason to take it off the shelves, except for to make some stupid political statement that was at the disadvantage of the people that they claim to represent.
Yep.
And so there have been some actual consequences, but the only ones that I know are actually immediate were in Canada. So what's more interesting than the tariff reasoning is that Jack Daniel said that they've had a shift in what size bottle consumers are purchasing, and they're purchasing smaller bottles.
So people are finally figuring out that size doesn't matter as much as they thought. That's all they always claimed.
You know what they say, it's not the size of the bottle, but the quality of the whiskey inside.
Absolutely, amen to that.
Or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yep. Yeah. So they said it reflects a consumer who's pinched. It just goes to the store with a $10 bill instead of a $20 bill.
Yeah.
And then they buy the smaller size.
Okay.
Right. And so that actually is reflective of real world events that people are actually being affected by, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that, you know, they used to be able to afford to buy the 750 and now they're getting the smaller sizes. And Jack Daniels is extremely susceptible to that because they don't have to worry it's not going to be on the shelf the next time they come there.
Right, yeah.
And Jack Daniels actually does have smaller bottle sizes of all of their common products.
I mean, with the economy in the past year, with inflation and all of that, it makes perfect sense that people would start to like look at everything and say, hey, where can we cut a few bucks out of our budget?
Right.
Okay, we don't need as big of a bottle or we don't need as much whiskey as we used to buy.
Right. Know? And some people are cutting whiskey out altogether because of inflation. And that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I saw that was pretty interesting is some analysts for the spirits industry arguing that weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Tirzepatide and things like that they're being so widely used and they are shifting people's cravings for alcohol that is actually affecting the industry.
Really? Wow.
Just think about like how impactful mm-hmm. and how widespread the use has to be for a Wall Street analyst to go, hey, everybody, expect less money in the future.
Ozempic's got him.
Ozempic got him.
Got him.
Right? And so that was kind of...
Not only is Ozempic going to slim your waistline, but it's going to slim your wallet down apparently as well.
Yeah.
You're just not buying as much as you used to.
Yeah, so then on the call, they said that they haven't seen anything like this in 3 decades.
That's a long time.
And remember when I said they're a publicly traded company mm-hmm. and all the information is publicly available?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a nerd, so I went and looked it all up.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's hear about it.
So this call was in 2025, so 3 decades ago would have been 1995.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
And so I looked in 89 and 90, and there was no change in sales. 1991 up 6%, 91 to 92 up 10%, 92 to 93 up 11%. And I'm like, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
93 to 94 down 2%.
Oh, wow.
Actually, 3 decades ago, 94 to 95 up 3%.
Okay.
95 to 96 up 8%.
Not bad. We're trending in the right direction.
So when they say they haven't seen anything like this in 3 decades, it's a massive understatement because yeah. negative 5% in 1 year versus the only year in the last 3 decades that they had a negative number and it was only negative 2% is not even comparable.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when you consider the drop in like what you said, the 1994, I mean, it was on $1.66 billion.
Right,
I
mean, right.
It's a huge industry, and that's just a drop in the bucket.
Right, you know, so you're talking 2% drop on $1.66 billion, and in 2024, they were $4.2 billion.
Yeah, so...
Right, so...
The 2% drop in 94 was, what, like 30-something million?
30-something million, and 5% drop in 2025 was $200 million.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
So another thing that they mentioned was legalization of marijuana.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And so
there's... Blame the weed guys.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're saying, you know, especially younger consumers, that they're just going, I don't want alcohol. I'll just consume my weed products.
Yeah, I'll just pop a gummy in and I'm good. You know what I mean? I don't need no Jack Daniels.
Don't need no Jack Daniels. And in all fairness, I mean, alcohol is poison for your body. And
I mean, the young people are smarter than we are.
Yeah, they know more about health effects for sure.
My kids always know more than I do. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I don't need that alcohol.
Yep.
Now, historically... alcohol has always been used for more than just enjoyment.
Right.
Right. So you're thinking of like using it for wounds, for healthcare, medicinal purposes. And then obviously it like helped through the wars and things like that, through mm-hmm. soldiers and all that. So, I mean, there's a huge history of the whiskey and bourbon industry here in America that you have to consider when you're looking at like downward turns and stuff like that. It's not just consumption.
Right. And the people that had that kind of mentality are starting to age out of the drinking system.
Exactly.
And so it just stands to reason that if you don't backfill it with the young people, that, you know, you're going to slowly reduce general alcohol consumption.
Yeah. It's expected to go down a little bit because nobody's drinking a hot toddy to cure their flu anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And possibly the largest impact on their sales was what we call the COVID bump.
Dude, that was a bump.
So in 2019, annual sales were $4.28 billion. Mm-hmm. In 2023, sales were $5.37 billion.
Goodness gracious.
Which was a 26% increase.
Yep.
Right?
So you got to expect it to come down a little. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So it turns out if you lock people in their homes and you give them government subsidies and you make the only businesses that are allowed to be open liquor stores and you give them paid time off and they're looking for something to occupy their time, humans drink more.
I feel like that's a great vacation idea.
It basically describes my COVID experience.
Right. Yep, that was it. I mean, it was a wild time, but... Yeah. the bourbon industry was booming during COVID because everybody's online. They're looking at, you know, razzes and online auctions right. through the roof. Everybody's like, I got nothing else to do. Let's just buy whiskey and stock up and bunker up for the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And the zombies never came, but the bourbon industry had to recover from that in some way. And
yeah.
It's expected to come down a little bit.
It should. You would think it would come down to something a little more normal. All right. Yeah. Let's give away some whiskey.
Let's do it. I feel like we should give away some Jack Daniels just to help them out.
Just to help them out.
I mean, Jack, if you're listening, which I doubt you are because you're
very busy, but we love you.
Very busy.
Very busy.
I was talking to Jack individually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which he's probably not. For that reason, Jack, we're trying to help you out. We're trying to spread the love here. So we want to give away, what are we going to do, 5 1-ounce samples?
Let's do 5 1-ounce samples.
5 1-ounce samples of this little lineup here. We've got the Bottle Bond. We've got the Single Barrel Bourbon. We've got... Tennessee whiskey. I want to be politically correct here.
Yeah.
And then we've got their rye, and then we've got their bonded rye. So we've got
a great option here. We got bonded cash strength single barrel of both their Tennessee whiskey and their rye whiskey.
Yeah. And it's super easy to get in the giveaway. All you need to do is like the video, and subscribe to the channel. Then you want to ring the bell because we give away free whiskey or whiskey stuff on every episode. So you want to ring the bell so you're notified of future episodes. And then you want to go down into the description and you want to fill out the web form. That'll give us your basic contact information so we can run it in our randomizer against everyone else who's entered. And we'll choose our winner at random. And you'll get your samples absolutely free.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you like this content, you want to support the channel, there's three ways. The easiest is Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
So Patreon is monthly support. We have support levels that fit every single budget. So don't think that you can't contribute. And some people contribute because they love this content, but some people contribute because they love what the people behind the content are spending their time doing.
Yeah.
Lindsay and I do a lot of nonprofit work, a lot of suicide prevention, fundraiser type work. Mm-hmm. Wes is running a Christian ministry in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his fees that he gets paid as the producer of this go directly into that fund. Mm-hmm. Chrissy Lynn is a single mother who works full-time for the podcast. And she would not be able to provide the care that she is to her daughter without your support.
Yeah.
And so Patreon's a great way to do it. But merch is another great way.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a lot of great whiskey merchandise. And a lot of it you're able to customize on our website because we have some lasers. So we can etch your logo or your name or your club name, whatever you want. And the last way that you could support is by hiring me to be your residential real estate agent in the Dallas or Houston metro areas. If you want information about all three ways to support the channel, you can find them in the video description right next to the link for the free giveaway. And if this is your first time tuning into the channel, we'd like to tell you why we do what we do. Yes, whiskey is great and it tastes good and it's fun to drink, but more importantly, it is a conduit to create connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's important to me because I lost my brother to suicide. And in the aftermath and trying to find out what happened, I learned that there are connections that you can have in life where you've got those people that are able to check in on you. They know when something's wrong, mm-hmm. and it creates a good basis for good mental health. And my brother was missing those connections. And I saw how whiskey and being involved in the enthusiast community was creating those very quickly. So we started this podcast. And I figure if I get you interested in whiskey, the whiskey will do the rest of the job and get you interested in talking with one another. But you do have to have a platform, and a lot of the platforms had negativity in them from the whiskey trolls.
Yep.
And Wes suggested that we started our own that was troll-free. So we did. It's called Bourbon Real Talk Community. It's currently one of the largest bourbon-focused Facebook groups. And it's free to join. And we have lots of good things going on in there, including starting a 501c3 nonprofit that is focused on suicide prevention and intervention called Live Stay Project. And that's 100% administered inside the community. But there was another thing that we learned by watching those whiskey trolls. And it was if they can show hate to a stranger online, there's nothing that keeps us from showing love to a stranger online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we end every episode the same way. And that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. We'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.